guys can make so much noise with chairs. Okay, so there is a famous din in certain tzitzis that revolves around the pasuk or Isim or so. You're supposed to see the tzitzis. What does that mean, supposed to see the tzitzis? The Gemara tells us, it comes to teach us that Laila is not as mad as the tzitzis. So it's good that we're talking about this now because it's actually been looking a little bit to the series of tefillin not being worn at night. As we'll see as we go on, it's really, really a very, very different kind of halacha. So comes the Torah and tells us a risa basel, Tosh Rafek explains us a risa basel, prat la laila. What does that mean, prat la laila? It says a very, very famous machlokes. Anyone know? Very, very famous machlokes around the Rosh. Yeah, you got the names right. What's the machlokes?
Rambam says it's about what time, and the Rosh is about ksus.
Very good, excellent. So the Rambam says it all depends on what time it is in the clock. If it's daytime, then you wear tzitzis. If it's nighttime, you don't wear tzitzis. Says the Rambam, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether it's pajamas, whether it's a shirt, or an egg. It all depends on if it's a day or is it night. And the Rosh says the exact opposite. The Rosh, tells us to say that the Gemara's Rosh is ksus laila. If it's a garment that's normally worn at night, even though you personally are wearing it during the day, it is exempt from tzitzis. If it's a garment that's usually worn during the day, because you happen to be wearing it at night, it is obligated to. Therefore, according to the Rosh, it would make a lot of sense not to take a tzitzit overnight. According to the Rambam, you don't really gain much by wearing tzitzit at night. But according to the Rosh, it's still gain a mitzvah d'oraisa. How do we paskin halacha in the shaila? So we paskin a split. We're not sure. Hard for us to machri, it was right around the room. Therefore, we're machri in all directions. What does it mean practically? If you have a four-cornered day garment, then you better make sure there are strings on it at night. If you have a four-cornered night garment, but it's in the daytime, you also better make sure there are strings on. The only time we're going to paskin that you're potter is if it's both night garment at night, then only then it's going to be potter. However, in order to make a bracha, you're not going to run to make a bracha until you have both conditions of presence, both the day and it's a day. So it's based on this, it's a very, very fascinating discussion that appears in the Rishayim and the Shulchan Aruch about the shaila of blankets. You chayev to a tzitzis on blankets. Why should you chayev to a tzitzis on blankets? Because it's a four-cornered garment that, well, I left out that word garment, four-cornered item that's covering you. So should you be chayev to wear a tzitzis on that or not? So some of the Rishonim seem to say yes. You know why? Because it's a halachic tzitzis to be like a beggar. How do I know? What precedent and what other area of halacha do I know that something that it's on top of me, but I'm not actually wearing it around my body, is called like a beggar? B'shatnes, the Torah says B'shatnes, the Beinei Kelayim B'shatnes L'yal Alecha, even though not technically wearing the B'shatnes on top of a blanket of wool and linen, that would be a problem. So Torah seems to say that would carry over to tzitzis as well. If you have a four-point garment or a four-point blanket, it would be chayef to put tzitzis on it. Now the question is, wait a second, is it Yom, is it Laila? So it depends. So according to the Rosh, it would probably be Potter. Because according to the Rosh, it's miyuchad l'ayla. Most people sleep during the night time. It's so cold, little naps here and there. But for the most part, normal people are supposed to sleep at night. And therefore, a blanket is probably considered to be excess l'ayla. And according to the Rosh, it would be totally potter. But according to the Rambam, it gets a little bit tricky. Why? According to the Rambam, excess l'ayla per se is not potter. It's only potter, or a beggar is only potter, if it happens to be at nighttime. Now, we sleep well into the daytime. Say this morning, most of us are sleeping, maybe I shouldn't say, but most of us are sleeping at least close to 8 o'clock. And Alos HaShacha was in the 4 something or other. These people are sleeping, it could be most of you are probably sleeping more hours in the day than more in the night. So according to the Rambam, once the day begins, whatever the halacha time begins, you would immediately be chayav to put tzitzis on the blanket, even if they are a beggar, a miyuchad, the laila. So that's a problem. So what's going on? So who here has tzitzis on their blankets? Nobody. So the answer is that you're relying on the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, well, it's based on the Mordechai, who says that the whole thing is not true. That you don't need tzitzis on blankets. Blankets are not a beged. It's only by shatnez, a special posel, but then do a tzitzis. And blankets are not chayav whatsoever. So that seems to be what the Minhag HaOlam is. Not just you guys, but most people seem to be relying on that kula. That the whole thing is not true. That Tosfos even said it. It's not even what Tosfos said. And therefore, the halacha we pass in. But it's interesting. The Mishabur Tanya doesn't pass in. Mishabur writes that if you have a four-cornered wool blanket, Mishabur recommends you should actually round off a corner. Anyone ever seen that? Most people don't do that today. I think that most people follow the view of the Mordechai and the Rosh Hashanah that way, that blankets don't require tzitzit at all. Unless they're kind of a blanket that you actually wear. You know, sometimes they give out these blankets on a plane that your arms inside them. So those are a little bit more problematic, because then that's mamash beged, and you don't have anything to rely on. So Gaval, what do you do? So someone asked me a shayla once. They're on a plane, and they're freezing cold. They put on these blankets. Gaval, chayvin tzitzit d'oraisa. What do you do? They went, oh.
Yeah. And
the
garment for sure is for runners.
Yeah, that's for cool. Yeah.
Maybe when you use it, like, don't actually wear it, but just like use it like normal.
Like, I don't know. So, yeah, I'm sure I'm wearing it. Any cooler? Any cooler?
Right.
The cool, I mean, in theory, everyone's walking around. You probably don't have scissors on the plane, or you shouldn't have scissors on the plane. If you do, they should take it away from you.
Yeah. If it's not yours.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Oh, so my initial reaction to the Shiloh was, it doesn't belong to you. What's in it? It belongs to Allah. It belongs to United. It belongs to the airline. Whatever, it doesn't belong to you. It's a talis shu'ula. A talis shu'ula for the first 30 days is exempt. Even midrabbana. The Torah is potter liyom voya. It's not called ksuscha. And midrabbana for the first 30 days, it's also potter. That was my initial reaction. And when I'm speaking about this once in the Shia, so I said that, of course, I'm sure the airline is not giving it to you. The airline is lending it to you. So right after the Shia, somebody came back and said, Rebbe, we just Googled blankets given out of airlines, and basically the information was that gay gazundae take it, they don't want it back, it's fine, they're more than happy to give it to you. Gaval undermines the entire kula. Unless you say that, well, I just have no intention to be going there. They may be, United may be willing to give it to me, but I'm not interested in acquiring it. So I just have in mind, I'm just borrowing it, and therefore it's going to be. We used to have the Shaila. He used to have the shayla on planes. The years ago, it doesn't happen anymore. The years ago, they used to give out real silverware on knives, forks, knives, whatever. So the shayla was the tefillah's kelim shayla. So it's very hard to turn your kelim on a plane. You're usually flying over the ocean, but love after it's a good idea to try to make the time. Don't forget to win the whole thing. So the possible is to say that, let's say it's United, the old Continental, for example, the old flights. Eastern Air, TWA, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? So the post is to say that those are Goyish airlines. So the thing is that if the kli belongs to a Goy, you don't really acquire it, you're just borrowing it from a Goy, it's not having tefillahs. I mean, just have in mind, I'm not acquiring it, it's not mine. I want the Goy to throw it out afterwards, so that's probably not having tefillahs. So same thing over here, you have a Goy not to be Zoych, and the blankets probably okay. Yeah, it's Jewish on the airline, it would be more problematic. Not for the blankets, it would be more problematic if it's real scary. Yeah, the good news is that they stopped
what do we do all of those blankets?
Yes, that's a problem. If you really have a blanket that you mamish wear around you, so even though it's probably Ksus Laila, even if it is, not even clear that it was Ksus Laila, so if it's really Ksus Laila, it's still to be chayim. It's bayom. So if it's miyuchadikat for Laila and it's Laila, then it would be okay, but otherwise it would be a problem. Okay? All right, so again, hopefully that's you. Okay, so that's you. Tomorrow we'll try to pick up a little bit more on this.
Just curious, let's say you had
a
connecting flight, you didn't want to bring one longer flight than a shorter one, you didn't want to bring a flight.
I know, it might not be a good one.